Novelist Anne Tyler has staked her claim on the city of Baltimore much the same way as James Joyce holds the literary deed on Dublin and Raymond Chandler, Los Angeles. Her latest novel, The Amateur Marriage, is, as expected, set in Baltimore, but it's wide-ranging in its chronology, exploring a half-century in the life of its characters. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
The zeitgeist made them do it. That's one of the main messages of Anne Tyler's latest novel, The Amateur Marriage. Indeed, for the first 100 pages or so, it seems to be the only message. The novel's characters verge on being types, and its plot, about the long history of a marriage and its breakup, is sweepingly ordinary. But The Amateur Marriage is a deceptive piece of work. Without ever drawing attention to itself through elaborate language or imagery, the novel slowly, surprisingly, accrues emotional power. There's method in Tyler's mundaneness, after all. The Amateur Marriage is set, as usual, in Tyler's fictional home turf, Baltimore, Maryland. It opens in December of 1941, right after Pearl Harbor. All the young guys in Baltimore's Polish Eastern Avenue neighborhood are joining a ragtag parade to enlist. Old women are crying, kids are waving flags, and all six of the Zapp brothers are carrying a homemade banner that reads, "Watch out, Japs, here come the Zapps." But 20-year-old Michael Anton is stuck stacking bars of soap in his mother's cramped little grocery store. Michael isn't going anywhere. He's all his cheerless, widowed mother has left. Then a group of young women veritably explode into the tiny store. One of them, the pretty one in the red coat, has blood running down her forehead. She stupidly jumped off a moving streetcar in an effort to see the parade. Michael takes one look at her. Her name is Pauline, and she's from an American neighborhood some 20 minutes away, and he's smitten. Shortly afterwards, at Pauline's patriotic urging, Michael enlists in the army and is sent away to a training camp where he's shot in the hip by another trainee, permanently wounded, and discharged. Giddily, Michael and Pauline marry, mismatched from the get-go. As her dramatic entrance into Anton's grocery store indicated, Pauline is impetuous as well as volatile. Michael, by contrast, is a stick who, as someone later comments, regards standoffishness as a virtue. Still they beat on for 30 years, boats against the current of each other's personalities. In fast-forward fashion, Tyler alights on different moments in the Antons' marriage, separated sometimes by decades. The effect, before a reader grows accustomed to it, is herky-jerky and superficial, sort of like clicking through someone else's family online photo album without any of the principal players beside you to fill in the story. Michael and Pauline have 3 kids and move to a modern ranch house in the suburbs, complete with basement bar and a boomerang-shaped wall mirror. Michael also relocates the Anton grocery store to the burbs, shrewdly turning it into a specialty foods market. Click. The kids become teenagers, and the eldest, a rebellious girl named Lindy, runs away from home. In 1968, about 8 years after Lindy disappeared, Michael and Pauline learn she's in a drug rehab program in Haight-Ashbury. They fly to San Francisco and find not their daughter, but a 3-year-old grandson named Pagan they didn't know they had. Click. On the eve of their 30th wedding anniversary, Michael walks out on Pauline. Tyler's novel is ultimately much more engrossing and revelatory than that bumpy summary indicates, and here's why. In The Amateur Marriage, Tyler pays her characters the respect of never coyly indicating that she knows more about them than they know about themselves. Michael and Pauline, after all, are members of the greatest generation. They're not, as the cliche about that generation goes, introspective. Usually, a work of fiction features someone who's especially astute, if not a character, then a narrator. But that's not the case in The Amateur Marriage. And yet somehow, through the very lack of analysis in her unadorned style, Tyler makes readers come to care deeply about these limited characters. In the final scene of the novel, an 80-year-old Michael gropes towards a similar appreciation of a singer he's listening to on his car radio, singing the old World War II standard, The White Cliffs of Dover. Why couldn't music today sound like that, Michael thinks. He liked the way the singer kept her voice so plain and ordinary, too intent on expressing her sadness to concern herself with effect. In singing this particular ballad of an ordinary American family, self-effacement works as a technique for Tyler, too.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Amateur Marriage by Anne Tyler.